Next time you're found with your chin on the ground, there's a lot to be learned. So look around.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky
hopes. So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another broadcast of Keeping It Real with Frankie D from the John DeVita Broadcast Center on the Windy City Hometown Entertainment Network and Jack FM 89.7 WRHS FM, Norridge, Illinois. Today's subject will be about the Italian culture. And now here he is, Frankie D.
Thank you, John, and welcome to the show. Today my guest is Aldo Mancusi, the founder and curator of the Enrico Caruso Museum in Brooklyn, New York. Aldo, welcome to the show, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for asking.
Tell me a little bit about your background, ethnically speaking.
Well, we have been, of course, built this museum many years ago, and it all began from my father's collecting of Caruso records. And we have built on his records some 70 Caruso records that he had. And when he handed them over to me, we, of course, became infatuated with Enrico Caruso's voice, and we built a huge collection, not only of his records, but of many of his personal items that we have on display here.
So from your father's love of music and love of Enrico Caruso, this is what catapulted this whole museum and your whole, basically your whole life of a love of music, correct?
Yes, my father came to America in 1920 and did get a chance to hear Caruso, one of his last performances, and my whole father's family was very musically inclined, playing instruments and of course, collected many other singers, you know, Metropolitan Opera, great singers of the past.
Right.
And so we have continued that for the past 25 years.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We are registered with the New York State Educational Department, and we're also a 501c3 non-for-profit organization.
Oh, okay.
So we have a foundation also.
That's great.
And we do concerts, we do lecturing all over the tri-state area, and we also did 14 exhibitions in Italy.
Really?
All over Italy, yes, with the Caruso collection here.
So you brought the paraphernalia, the artifacts, all that stuff to Italy and had these different events?
Well, we have, we don't take the entire museum.
No,
with us.
But
we just take the important items depending on the place we're going to do the exhibition. The last one we did was in Naples, but the one before that was at in Ortona, Italy. That is on the Asiatic coast, and Ortona is the hometown of one of the greatest songwriters of all times, and that was Tosti. Oh. So they have a beautiful museum there, and we were asked to do an exhibition, yes.
Oh, really? That's nice. Now, is that in, if my geography serves me, Puglia, Abruzzo, or more up north?
You have to talk a bit louder.
I'm sorry. Where in Italy, which region would that city be in?
In the museum for Tosti is in Ortona, which is north of Foggia.
Oh, in Puglia, then. Okay.
It's on the Asiatic side.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Approximately, you might say, just opposite Rome.
Okay, I understand. Yeah. Beautiful. That's great. Now, Where is your family from in Italy?
Say that again?
Where is your family from in Italy?
Well, my dad migrated from Sarno, which is a very important city if you look on a map of Pompeii, because they had they called them doorways or Porto di Sarno.
Oh.
They had a road leading to Sarno, and all the Pompeians would, of course, when it was very hot by the sea, they used to go up to the mountains where Sarno was, and there, of course, was much cooler, and you did not need air conditioning.
Okay, understandable.
And my mother came from Gragnano, which is a small city just outside of Naples.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you were born in New York, I take it?
I was born in Brooklyn, yes.
In Brooklyn.
Very early in 1929.
Oh.
And I was brought up very, very Italian, and my first language was, in fact, Italian.
Really? That's great. Now, where is Enrico Caruso from in Italy?
Say that again?
Enrico Caruso. Where is he from in Italy?
He's from Naples.
He was born
in Naples.
Okay.
And he sang there, and he also frequented Sorrento, where he went many times during the summertime. And on his last trip to Italy, he wound up in Sorrento, and that's where he got sick again and infected again. And on his way to Rome to be checked up by some famous doctors there, he collapsed in Naples, and they took him to the Naples Hotel Victoria, where he died the next morning.
Was he pretty young when he died, or how old was he when he died?
He was only 48 years old.
Oh, that's it, huh?
Okay. So he was a young man.
Okay. Know. So your parents are from the same region as Enrico Caruso.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's
added to the pride, too.
It was a tribute to Caruso, and we're still trying to build a museum in Naples. Unfortunately, they don't move very quick, and here is one of their favorite sons who was popular all over the world and still very popular, and they don't have a museum for him in Naples.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, that there should be one there.
I've been saying that for the past 30 years.
No, I know. It's very difficult to move the Italians in Italy that way. I understand.
Well, Naples is known for not doing the proper thing in the way of museums and artifacts, you know. I exhibited there for once Mayor Bassolino, and that was about 15 years ago, and he promised me then that they would build a Caruso Museum, and that never happened.
Do you think it's a matter of money, or is it a matter of just being organized and taking care of business?
That the people of Naples want the museum, especially the more cultured people,
mm-hmm.
and very many common people who love Caruso's voice and loves his history, and the fame that he has brought to Naples, it's remarkable. And it's just an awful disaster for those people, not to the politicians in particular. They have shunned every chance I've had to talk with them to build a museum. It's not easy because they have so many other projects that are more important. But if you have the right person in the driver's seat or ahead of the political system there, and if you get the right person who's willing to take on this particular thing, you might just get it in the next 30 years. Who knows?
Absolutely. All it takes is one, but one really good one. That's what it takes. Yes. Do you have a background in music, your professional career as well?
No, I am not a musician. However, my father played the piano, and he tested every one of his sons to make sure that we didn't have a Caruso in the family.
Oh. Well, that was smart.
As it turned out, we did not
have. But at least he tried, yes. Oh, that's interesting. Now, you say that the museum, you do things with schools, with education?
Yes, we lecture at the Brooklyn College, right in Brooklyn, to senior citizens, and we educate them on the life and times of Puccini, Toscanini, and even Gershwin. We throw in George Gershwin.
Even George Gershwin, okay.
And many, many others, of course, Caruso, and many, many others that we lecture on at Brooklyn College, you know.
That's great.
For retired individuals. And we also, at the museum, we also have a theater.
Oh, you do?
So we show film here. We lecture here on all of these important people from the arts, you know, whether it be musicians or singers or even the first Bartolomeo Cristofori, who was the builder of the first piano. We lecture on him. So we very interesting people that make it a difference in the Italian community.
That's great. How about as far as, like, the young kids?
Say that again?
How about as far as the younger kids?
Well, we do not charge students. I'm having, this coming Sunday, I'm having some students from a musical school. So we do take pride in what we do. We, of course, don't charge students.
Right.
Because we're still hoping for another Caruso.
Right.
But we do educate young people, and many adults also come to the museum for lectures and films, you know. I've been doing this for many, many years, you know, like I said, and we became well-known throughout the Italian community and also in Italy, and we received an honor. I was Cavalieri Ufficiale.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for 17 years, and just this past year now, I became a commander. In Italian, that's called Comandatore, which is a very prestigious title that I hold.
That's excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's great. Tell me a little bit about how the museum started.
Okay, you see, I, like I said, my father collected Caruso's records, and I collected a lot more than just his records, and I had a dear friend of mine who knew Caruso.
Okay.
Who was very friendly with Caruso, and he was quite old at the time, and he said to me, "Aldo, if you open up a museum, I will give you all of my Caruso items when I expire." And so that was a very tempting offer. And so this gentleman, who's called Michael Siska, who was very, very popular in the Italian community for what he did, because his father and Caruso, his father's name, Marcel Siska, was like a brother to Caruso.
Oh, wow.
Therefore, Michael Siska was only a kid, but he sat and ate with Caruso many times, and Caruso gave him fork and spoons and
wow,
a lot of other things, you know, that he gave to Michael Siska. And, of course, when Michael Siska, I knew him 30 years, or maybe 25. But anyway, right now it's got to be something like 30 years. But he passed away in 1987, and believe it or not, he willed me everything he had, which was a very wonderful thing for him to do.
That is very, very nice. Now, still though, he made this proposal to you, but still, that's a difficult thing to ask of someone, you know. How much of a, you know, did you think this would be a reality when he made that statement? You know, because obviously that's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, we have a lousy connection.
Oh, I'm very sorry about that.
Perhaps you could speak a bit louder.
Okay, I was saying, like, he made this offer to you, and that's a very, that's a great idea, but at the same time, it's very difficult to start a museum. So when did this become more of a reality, you know, beyond just him giving you all these items?
Well, it's actually, let's just say 25 years ago, he and I were together very often, and I loved to be with him because he had many personal stories of Caruso, which will be in my new book, by the way, when the book comes out, a lot of those stories will be in that book.
Oh, you have a book coming out about Enrico Caruso, about the museum?
Yeah, the title of the book is going to be My Caruso.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And, of course, it'll be all about the Caruso Museum and my involvement with his life and his family, who all live today. Caruso's, all his relatives that are living in Italy and the United States, I'm in touch with.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, so we have on our board Enrico Caruso's grandson, Mr. Eric Murray, who was the son of Gloria Caruso, the daughter of Enrico Caruso.
Wow.
So he's on our board and has helped us considerably with many personal items of Caruso that we were able to have him, donate to the
museum. That's great. I was going to ask you if the family, was still around, if they were involved with this, if they liked this. Wow,
there are many relatives that are living today. We know them all, and most of them have been here at the museum. There is one Caruso, Riccardo Caruso, who sings at the Florence Opera House, who has sang for me in many concerts that we did here in New York, and we brought him in from Italy to sing for us.
And would he be the grandson as well?
He was the great-grandson.
Oh, great-grandson, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. That's excellent.
So we were very fortunate to know all of the Caruso family and have had them here in New York with us, yes.
Okay, no, that's excellent. How about as far as, though, the obvious money and just,
We get grants. We do get grants, not very much. We're always hurting for additional monies. We just did a concert in New York City to honor not only me but other Leach Albanese, who was a soprano who passed away. But she was a dear, dear friend to the museum, and we honored her at this concert, in concert and dinner in New York City. And we're always, fortunately, we're able to get enough money just to do these once-a-year concerts.
Right.
Of course, if we were able to get more grants, we would be doing more and more concerts.
Sure.
But that's difficult.
Now, your location of the museum, is that the original location, and it's been in the same spot always?
Yeah, it's been here. It's been here for the past 25 years, and it's a collection that's been very valued. And just recently, we got an offer to move to Manhattan.
Oh, wow.
And if we do, we'll be in about four or five blocks away from the Metropolitan Opera Lincoln Center.
Wow, that would be great.
Yeah,
would it be about the same size?
I think it will be bigger.
Bigger and in Manhattan?
Yeah, not only bigger, but more prestigious, because Manhattan near the Lincoln Center will bring so many more people and visitors.
Wow.
Because Brooklyn is like an hour away from Manhattan.
Oh, is it? See, I'm not very familiar.
It's about an hour away, and we do find that people can't come as often.
Right, exactly, yeah. No, that would be ideal. Now, you have like a board of directors. You have a lot of people involved in this, correct?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
We have many, many participants who come frequently to the museum. Not only to hear the lectures, but also to view the film that we have. We have many films and documentaries of Caruso.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, so, it's really an entertaining afternoon if anybody wishes to come. We've had people here from Thailand, from Japan, from Korea, from Australia. There's such a large community of Italians in Australia, and we've had visitors from that area, and tons of people from Italy, from South America, and from Germany, England, all, and France.
So all over the world.
So all over the world, they still worship this man, Enrico Caruso.
That's fantastic. And you know what? It's like everything else with our culture and our background. We need to educate our youth about Enrico Caruso.
Yeah, well, you know, Enrico Caruso is only one avenue of what the Italians have done and what they have given to the world, you know, in the way of music and architecture and science. And,
sure.
And, you know, so we have nothing to be ashamed of.
No, we don't.
We have done so much for the world, especially in the Italian communities throughout the United States. We have always been positive about guaranteeing our loyalty to the United States. We are a very, very healthy, intelligent group of people with all kinds of talent. So
absolutely, and I totally tip my hat to you, because it's people like you that keep these things alive, that keep our culture alive, that keep the memory of Enrico Caruso, because let's face it, Enrico Caruso is from like about 100 years ago, correct?
Yeah, well, yeah, he was born in 1873 and has thrilled the people of the United States for 17 of those years of his 48 years that he lived. Don't forget, when he first came here in 1903, he sang at the Metropolitan Opera House, and after he sang there, he filled the opera house every time he sang.
Wow.
Because people actually, they went to the box office and said, I want 10 tickets the next time Caruso sang. They didn't even care what he was singing, but they bought tickets in advance.
Wow.
Just to be there when he sang.
Now, Aldo, when he came, did he come here and stay here for many years, or did he go back and forth?
No, back and forth.
Oh, he went back and
forth. This is his traveling schedule. He came here in 03. He sang here during the 03 season, and immediately when it was finished, you know, because in the summertime they don't have opera here in America, so he went back and sang in South America, or sang in Europe. He sang all through Europe.
Oh, okay.
When the season ended here. Then he would come back again, and he would again sing at the Met, and when he was finished, he would go back to Italy. Now, during World War I, he didn't want to go back to the to all the difficulties that were going on in Italy during the war, so he stood here in America, but he didn't sit still. He took tours all throughout America, and wherever he sang, he filled the opera house.
Wow.
So he was never standing still, always worked very hard.
No, it doesn't sound like it. Absolutely. And he is one of the greatest opera singers of all time.
Yes, and I'm not the one that said it. I have a film that was done here by A&E, Arts and Entertainment.
Yes.
And in that film, we had Domingo and Pavarotti and Beverly Sills, and all three said that Caruso was the greatest of all tenors.
The greatest.
And for
wow.
Pavarotti to say that, who was indeed a great tenor,
sure.
And Domingo, who was also one of the great tenors, for them to say this, you have to understand that Caruso made an impression. It was a standard that people today still use to listen to all of his old records. All our young students today always listen to Caruso.
Do
because
they?
He had it all from top to bottom. His register from top to bottom was extraordinary.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Did he ever, and I'm just curious, did he ever record any kind of music beyond opera, and other than opera?
Oh yes,
he did.
He sang and recorded many Italian Neapolitan songs, and he also recorded some records in English. He sang over there during the war.
Really?
Yeah. In English, of course, he wrote the words phonetically. And made the record over there.
Wow.
So he did manage, you know, later on in his life, when he was married to an American woman, Dorothy Benjamin, He was able to converse with her in English, of course.
Oh, so he spoke English. Okay. That's great. All the trips he made here, and obviously marrying an American woman. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you a little bit, the museum itself, you mentioned there's a theater, there's artifacts. Like, when you say a theater, what kind of, like, what kind of a theater? Like,
okay. We have a theater with very comfortable seats from a theater that had closed in Brooklyn, and we had them refurbished and reupholstered, and we can seat up to 20 people in our theater.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we do show film on all of the subjects that we lecture on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. That's great. It sounds like, I mean, obviously you guys have done a fantastic job. And like I said, I commend you, and it's wonderful, and it's great, the longevity and the fact that you might be moving to Manhattan in a bigger location. That's great. Right now, if people are coming to New York, can you give us a little info, like the address, website?
I'll be happy to do that. First off, let me tell you, if you have a computer, all you have to do is punch in Enrico Caruso Museum of America, and you'll get all the information about visiting the museum. However, we do have a phone number, and that's also on the website, but I can give it to you now.
Okay.
It's 718-368-3993. And that phone number, you can call and make pre-arrangements. We make special appointments for out-of-towners. Anybody that comes from out of town who wishes to come to visit us, we make special arrangements to meet your schedule, because we don't want to miss up on anybody who's interested in Caruso.
Right, right. So is it open?
We're open by appointment.
Okay, by appointment.
We are usually open every Sunday.
Okay.
However, it's best to call, because sometimes we're out lecturing and we're not here.
Okay. And lastly, tell me about the book you said. When's it going to come out? And
okay, the book, it's going to be My Caruso.
Okay.
It's going to be published probably, it will probably be out the beginning of next year.
Beginning of 2016, okay.
And we'll have, it's more of a pictorial history of what we have done and the items that we have, which are very rare items of Caruso. And the book will be published, and it's going to be actually done in several different languages.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
And we hope that it'll go to Italy especially, and it'll probably be translated into German and Italian. And
wow.
Maybe if it goes well in that area, we'll probably do something in the Asian community.
You know? Oh, as well. Yeah. Okay. Wow, that's great. Well, I look forward to the book. I look forward to reading it.
Great.
And
it'll be published, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of, it's going to be sold through some of the big publishers.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Okay. So. And my next trip, I don't know when that'll be, but my next trip to New York, I'm definitely coming to see you.
Next visit, do, please.
Absolutely,
do. Yes.
Absolutely. Although you might be in Manhattan by then, you're saying.
Well, if we are, we're scheduled. If everything goes well, there's a lot of things that have
sure.
to be done, you know, in the way of legalities and
absolutely.
So forth. But we're scheduled to move towards the end of 16.
Oh, okay.
16.
Okay.
But we'll that has to be. Everything has to be negotiated.
Right.
We're still in that negotiating stage.
Right, but you know what? I love that. That's great. You're going to make it bigger and in a better area, and you have ambition, and you're hungry to make this even better. That's
yeah.
We've had
many offers, you know, to move the museum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a place in Staten Island. We had a place in Brooklyn, but none of them will give us the exposure.
Sure.
And the visitors from, like Manhattan, you know, if you're in Manhattan, that's where there's millions and millions of people that go visit Manhattan every year.
Right.
And we'll be right in the middle of all the cultural musical centers in Manhattan. So.
Oh, that's excellent. That
we'll be
is
getting
excellent.
Thousands of people more than we do here in Brooklyn.
Right, right. No, that's excellent. Well, Aldo, I have to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the interview, and keep doing what you're doing, and you're doing excellent work. And as far as Italian Americans in Chicago, we're proud of you and the work you're doing. Okay.
Thank you.
And
thank you for all your kind words. And do come and visit us. And if anyone out there is listening, we expect you all to come, but don't all come at once.
No, absolutely. But definitely the next time anyone is in New York, go to the Enrico Caruso Museum. Aldo, thank you so much, and you have a great day, okay?
Thank you very much for your kind words, and we'll talk again.
Absolutely, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And as we always do on the Keeping It Real with Frankie D, our quote of the show comes from Winston Churchill. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. And with that, I bid you farewell. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great day. Thank you.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky.
So anytime you're getting low,
you have been listening to Keeping It Real with Frankie D and guests from the John Nevitta Broadcast Center on Jack FM 89.7, WRHS FM Norridge, and the Windy City Hometown Entertainment Network. This broadcast was directed by John Nevitta, and special thanks to radio station manager Kevin Zeflik of WRHS FM Norridge and the executive producer of Windy City Hometown Entertainment Network, Mr. John Ciconda. This broadcast was pre-recorded on Tuesday, November the 17th, the year of our Lord, 2015. Until next time, please be safe and thanks for listening.
Anytime you're feeling bad, instead of feeling sad, just remember that ram. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt
dam. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
And this is Jack FM 89.7 WRHS FM Nords. Have a great day, and have a great Thanksgiving.